I'm Lance Carter, and you're listening to the Daily Actor Interview Podcast. When Melissa Leo is on stage or you see her in TV or film, the project's immediately elevated to a different level. She's got this incredible gift of grounding every scene that she's in, making everyone around her better. If you saw her Oscar-nominated performance in last year's Frozen River, you'll know what I'm talking about. She's currently starring in HBO's Tremé as attorney Tony Burnett. If you haven't been watching the show, you're missing out on some great performances, not only from Melissa, but John Goodman, Candy Alexander, Wendell Pierce. The list goes on. I got a chance to talk to Melissa while she was on set filming another HBO project, Mildred Pierce.
When I first became aware of you in Homicide, and since I've seen you in, is that you bring reality to everything you're in. You keep everything and everyone around you grounded. That's I guess a big reason why I think Homicide stunk after you left the show.
Oh my God! I don't know if I want all that responsibility, but it's quite a compliment. I've always thought of myself. An actor once at a festival handed me a card, and she had written on it, "Acting, the art of pretending the truth." And I used her quote an awfully lot, because it is, to me, that's what it's about. Even when things go into fantastical realms that they can on the stage or in film, there's something that what the human audience is looking for is to be grounded. I think of it as an ancient healing art, if I can be so presumptuous. It's just all a part of why I do what I do. So an extraordinary compliment. Thank you.
After Frozen River, looking at your resume, you've been working nonstop. Are you ever home anymore?
I'm rarely home at my little place in Ulster, yeah.
And do you still have to audition now?
The auditioning has waned, some of it by choice. For many years, I recognized that I was used for casting directors to impress directors with their choices, to find out how a difficult part, in fact, can work, giving another girl the job. So as I began to have work offered to me, have backed away from an offer to audition from time to time, and by golly, that sort of helps things.
Yeah, yeah. You seem to take these roles that might be difficult to cast, but you make them, you fit them perfectly.
Well, I think that anybody who does any kind of work gets the thing that if you're going to be working, you might as well be working hard.
Yeah.
so that's what I do, and I guess my passion and love of it, that acting really is my life. The only other thing really is my son. My son graduating today.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Are you going to get a chance to go to the graduation?
No, work will keep me from being there,
but
he's very understanding about it, and we'll celebrate this summer sometime.
So how much of you do you bring to a role?
I try to bring as little of me as possible. The actor's instrument is innate. It cannot be changed. It's that thing that makes us love a great actor. Pacino was Kevorkian. He was an MD, but you still saw Al in there because he, as much as he became someone else, he also he is Al Pacino. So that part, it just comes. So I actually look for the things that are further from me to hone and make my own.
You don't seem to play the same character twice. How do you go about preparing for a role?
Reading the script. First
easy.
And foremost, again and again, finding what others think of my character, where does she fit in the picture as a whole? What is her role in the story? And who is she? Should be on the page. The costume department, the hair and makeup department helped me enormously. It's quite traditional that the very first call an actor receives from production, sometimes the only one, is a call from the costume department. So I begin working with them. They've worked more directly with the director 9 times out of 10 on who she is. So I include that advice in it. And again, go back to the page. If an actor works too much out of their hopefully vivid imagination, they'll veer from the project as a whole, and it can harm a project enormously, I've learned.
I guess let's go back to the beginning. When did you realize you wanted to be an actor? Because you went to London to study at 15.
I did, and it was many years before that, perhaps as many as 10. And as I talk to you here from Cooper Square in New York City, I am a half a block away from where it all began. The building that's now the Public Theater here in New York was a building owned by the City of New York that Peter Schumann and his Bread and Puppet Theater had the use of for a few years in the early 60s when I was a child growing up around the corner. And my mom took us over, and we participated in puppet workshops and a nativity play Peter has done each year for many, many years. And that was the beginning of it, in a darkened room with people coming to watch the spectacle and children and adults alike creating and believing in a make-believe world. And I found a place that I was comfortable and walked the path toward that and learned eventually that, in fact, it's called acting. You can find employment as an actor if you are so lucky. And sort of just took every opportunity, left high school in part because I could not do theater at the public high school I was at in Vermont, a privilege saved for juniors and seniors, and went to the theater school in London eventually.
And then you came back and you went to SUNY Purchase, right?
Very, very, very important time in my path.
Yeah. What was so great about that? I mean, what did they teach you? Because so many great actors came out of that program. The college I went to, I've never heard from anybody since. You know?
I think that it was a seriousness and respect for the art of acting that Purchase was designed a scant 8 years before I attended it to be. Right? Not a mill to churn out a commercial, get a job. We were dissuaded from work the entire course of the 4 years there with a conservatory. And every one of the mentors there, my own Joan Potter, just so damn serious about acting. And I was just talking about it in the van back from the Long Island last night with the Brian O'Byrne and Mira Winningham in the van, that training is still what I rely on.
You go from film to TV to theater, kind of like most actors change clothes. Do you have a preference?
I don't have a preference, which is probably why it's so. And just a few years ago, realized that I had been. My work is so varied and in size, you know, student films and big films and television, and it's unusual, and it is my pleasure. To me, the most horrifying thing above spiders and heights and darkened corners is a fear of sameness. This notion of living a life, God bless the people who can do it, 9 to 5, 5 days a week, with a weekend and a holiday each year. To me, that would be unfathomable. So maybe it's that I embrace that changing, the not knowing, going to the audition, did you get the job or not? It's out of my hands. Letting my life unfold, like so many teachings are present in the world today of be here now.
Yeah.
And my whole work life has made me a better human being because I've learned to take it as it comes.
Now, when you go from theater to film, with theater you have obviously a long rehearsal process, and with film you have probably about, 10 minutes before you do the scene. What do you take from theater that you bring to film or TV, and what do you bring from film or TV that you bring to theater?
Oh, it's a very interesting way to ask this question. They're exactly the same, and then they're totally opposite, doing the different things that there are. In rehearsal, we all make preparation together for a play. We sit around a table and read it out loud, sometimes for days and days, to crack open the true meaning of the play. And then we get it up on its feet and we find its movement all together, and we go for 8 hours a day and work with a guide, our director, to get to that thing. But then you walk out at 8 o'clock each night, and sometimes twice a week in the afternoon, and try to hit those marks you know are there. And in film, we prepare by and large alone, somewhat with the director and the other departments involved. It's a little scattered like that, never all met together. In a play rehearsal, there's a wonderful day that the set designer comes up and shares with all of us the plan of the set. We don't know in film what are we going to walk into, what is the movement going to be. Does the director have an idea of the images he wants to wear in the space? Or so we find that for him. And then on film, you do this amazing, magical thing where you capture and use the finest of the moments. The moments when you do hit those marks that you try each night to hit on the stage. A little bit the same and a little bit opposite.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
I guess it's about the preparation primarily. And because of the way you asked the question, it's a new thought to me. But there you have it. I can't wait to read what I said.
Preparation, preparation, preparation. You're so right. Now, you're currently starring in Tremé.
Oh, I am such a lucky girl. Oh, my gosh. Really, I had been hoping that something would invite me into television to broaden the public's awareness of my name. The public knows a lot of the time my work, but then they don't recognize me as I go to the mud truck and get my coffee here in the city. Are we defined by me?
You're working with David Simon and John Goodman.
Yes.
Such two wonderful, two great people. You and John seem to have... Did you guys know each other before? Because you guys just seem to have... It's like you've been married for, 20 years.
John is my favorite kind of people. John is an actor. He is an actor, an actor, and an actor. And we do this thing. There was a guy, he doesn't even have a line in the film I'm shooting, who played my husband last night. And somehow, in the 45 minutes we spent together on the set, without really saying, okay, so we were married in 19, you establish a relationship with them. And with some actors, it's easier, and you fall right into it. And with John, it was thusly. I had never met him before. I had admired his work for a long, long time, felt that he's often misunderstood as an actor because he's so good at just being flat-out funny, that the depth of what he's able to bring to things is unsung, or not properly sung, at least, and that what the writers were giving him, have given him through the season to be saying about the circumstances in New Orleans. It was so moving to watch being filmed, and easy peasy for Tony Burnett to love that nutty husband of hers.
Now, and right now you're currently working on Mildred Pierce?
Yes, I am. And that began just as we wrapped up down in New Orleans. So I was going back and forth with it. And
wow, you seriously
now,
haven't been home. Man.
Yeah, no, seriously, not home. I will. This now that Tremé is finished until next November, I will be able to, I think, to get to my little house in the woods a little more often and give it a little tender loving care I should have long ago.
What's your advice to actors?
If there's anything else you can do, do it. If anything can stop you, let it. And if there's nothing else you can do and nothing can stop you, do nothing but. Just like when we work, it's 101 acting. You can't go for a result. And in our career paths, we should avoid the notion of a result. Have a golden dream in your heart and head, but just do your life like you're acting. Let it happen beat by beat. Be informed by what comes at you.
Thank you so much, Melissa, and thank you for listening. Please, guys, tell your friends about us, and keep coming back to DailyActor.com for more great stuff. I'm Lance, and I'll talk to you soon.